Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show on Talk808.com. Good morning and welcome to the Carol Cox Show on Talk808.com. Thank you for joining in and appreciate you listening. Get the word out. Talk808.com is our new method of getting the word out and talking public issues and government, waste, fraud, and abuse, environmental concerns, and political concerns, with to a minimum on that subject. But I have some interesting things to talk about today, and they are, one, you know that the mayor is in a conundrum right now, and so is the city council on the rail on many aspects, but this one deals with the FTA. And the FTA is saying, sending a letter to them, the mayor, as well as the city council, because they both had a similar letter responding to the FTA. And my guess is, I'm waiting for him to call in, is Rod Tam. He's supposed to call in around 9 o'clock, and we'll take up that subject. There's many angles to this, but some very interesting things. The mayor is thinking about floating bonds, but that seems to be a misnomer or a misleading effort on the mayor's part. You know, bonds, when you sell bonds, you know, you want to make sure you look at the types of bonds. There's saving bonds, and then there's municipal bonds or whatever bonds that you think. One brings you a little profit, the other brings you some debt. And so, some real serious questions about that. I'm not a scholar on the financial concerns and what have you, and I don't pretend to, but I do know how to read the basic letters that tell you, if you're given this amount of money to do this, then you must meet that standard. And if you don't, there are consequences. Good morning, Rod.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine. I'm just introducing you here as Rod Tam, former city councilman, state senator, state representative, and we're talking this morning about I don't know how you package this. It's lies, and more lies. From my standpoint, now you know I don't want to put words in your mouth, but this thing on the FTA. And its letter to the mayor and the city council regarding the rail. Also, I want to talk about the public's perception and objections to this, where they're saying no to increasing city taxes and what have you. So, let's get with it. Introduce yourself a little bit more, and then what is this, your concerns? And I would like to go through, I don't know if you have the letter in front of you.
Yes.
The FTA letter, but the mayor, that is dated October 26, 2018. My take is that the mayor has been misleading the public.
Yes.
Am I wrong, or is that?
No, you're right. You're right.
And with intent. I let me say that you can mislead someone knowingly and unknowingly, you know, but.
Right.
But it's what's done after the fact that further exacerbates matters.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, the
right.
City council also, I don't understand the reading. Is there other measures they could have taken or can take to?
Yes.
So
yes.
Let's plow into this and let's talk about yourself a little bit right quick. And then what is this concern about the rail? And we'll go from there.
Good morning, Carol. I'm Rod Tam. I was a former state representative, state senator, and city council for the past 28 years. And my background also, too, is I was a budget analyst and a financial analyst. And what I want to do is share with the public in terms of the erroneous information that Mayor Kirk Caldwell is giving, and he's trying to legislate a bill entitled relating to transit. This bill number is 42, and it has a conference draft of one. what the mayor wants, basically, and HART, which is his agency for the rail system under the city and county of Honolulu, he wants to fund rail additionally to city funds, and it's by financing bonds. I have to bring forth also too for the public's information that bonds is a debt on paper. In other words, you borrow money. In this case, the mayor wants $44 million. And then when you borrow money, you have to pay interest. On top of that, there's a commission for those who service to sell the bonds. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Just like insurance people, to get a commission.
An agent for the
right.
Operating and putting it all together.
Yes, yes.
Basically.
Yes. So what has happened is back in September 15th, 2017, the city and county of Honolulu to the mayor, Kurt Caldwell, and HART had to transmit to the Federal Transportation Ministry, known as FTA, a financial report identifying how they would finance the city's rail. Initially, when I was a city councilman, the only funding source was coming from the state of Hawaii and also the federal contributions. And everybody agreed with that. Otherwise, we would never have had the rail at all being constructed and to be used in the future on operations of mass transportation. Now the mayor is saying, oh, I want $44 million, and he's leading the perception that the federal government, FTA, is asking for $44 million. That's not true. I was referring back to September the 15th, 2017. After the FTA reviewed the mayor's financial plan back then, they said to the city council, we don't understand your analysis, your financial analysis. And what we found out is that there's questions about the $44 million that you have in that financial analysis. What is it for, and what are you going to spend it on specifically? Well, the mayor led a perception of interpretation that the FTA wants additional $44 million. And this is from the city to show that they support the rail and put your own money into it, basically. That's mm-hmm. what they're trying to say. But that's not true. That is not true.
And this is what the mayor
is asking for, is clarification. Where's this money coming from, the $44 million, and what you going to spend it on? Now, the $44 million, all the mayor had to say, and HART was to say, well, the $44 million is coming from the state of Hawaii contribution and the federal money. Now, how this money from the state is coming from is the 0.5% excise tax, which has been going on for a number of years now. I think about 4 years plus, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, too, just recently, the legislature passed to tax the hotels in the state of Hawaii a 1% additional charge. Okay, and then, of course, you have the federal money. So all HART had to do was to explain that the funding of the $44 million is coming from those resources.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
but the mayor is leading that, hey, we need another $44 million, and it's requested by the federal government.
Well, let's go back to this letter you have, and I don't want to belittle the subject or this letter with my shallow understandings, but
mm-hmm.
but October 26, 2018, to the Honorable Kurt W. Caldwell, Mayor
yes.
of Honolulu, dear Mayor Caldwell, we'll go through. I believe we should go through this just as we say that he's lying. I'd like to demonstrate or at least offer some proof for why we draw that conclusion.
Yes.
Thank you for your letter responding to the September 21, 2018 letter that I sent to Honolulu Authority for Rapid Transit, or HART, Chief Executive Officer Andrew Robbins, regarding HART's Honolulu Rail Transit Project. Your letter requests clarification of the Federal Transit Administration's request that the $44 million identified in HART's previous financial plan of September 15, 2017 be fully committed towards the project by November 20th, 2018. And again, it says here that they request that the $44 million identified in HART's previous financial plan of September 15, 2017, the fully committed towards the project by November 20th, 2018. Apparently, Mayor can't do that.
Yeah.
He can't fully commit it. And why would he not be able to do that?
You know, basically, from a budget analyst standpoint, he doesn't have a true financial plan.
Okay.
Really, very bluntly. Okay. And, you know, I draw the scenario, the comparison. If you go for a mortgage or to buy a house and you don't have your financial plan in order, the bank is going to not grant you the loan for a mortgage, because they're going to look at your income revenue. They're going to look at your expenses, and you cannot just say, well, I have X number of dollars of income. They're going to ask you, where is your income coming from specifically? And what are your expenses specifically? Well, Mayor Kurt Garwell did not spell it out. Neither did HART.
And they were obligated to.
Yeah. And then, you know, the city council is very ignorant to what's going on, basically. They got, Mayor Kurt Garwell and HART got the city council scared.
Are they scared, or are they just political people?
They're scared.
Scared?
And
I mean, how...
They don't know how to interpret it.
But then they're not worth the salt. Then I mean, if that's as simply explained as that, then something's wrong there. But that's a different show, I guess.
Right.
No guts,
Many
no.
of these legislators now in the city council, they have no background or finances at all.
Yeah, but they do have legal advisors. They do have a staff of advisors. Council services is a team of people that serves the council, the city council. Just like the mayor would have the the city office of lawyers, a bunch of lawyers there for the city.
Right.
Council.
Corporation council. But
Corporation
council. Council is biased.
Yeah, I'm
under
saying
the administration of the mayor.
I'm saying we're in this quagmire, and all that would be offered is, many people say, like you're saying, that they're scared. Well, the taxpayer, well, hell, if that's the case, then we should be nightmarishly frightened to see them any time now claiming that they're representing us, if they're just simply scared, you know. But
right.
But I don't know. I just have a...
Yeah, you're right, and that's why, fortunately, there's a public hearing on the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
of October, this coming Tuesday at 9 o'clock a.m.
Right.
Council chambers. First of all, they're going to have a legislative matters committee on this Bill 42, along with resolutions to grant the mayor to sell bonds.
That's going to be the meeting, is to debate that or to mull over and see if they should or should not. Well,
and then after that, at 10:30, then they're going to have full council to adopt and third reading this Bill 42, along with resolutions, and I'm asking people to go there to testify against Bill 42.
Right.
You know, and if they cannot make it, please send in letters of opposition to the city council.
Right. Well, let's give them some background and some basis or cause to go and get and explain. Maybe they're missing something, and maybe we might be able to provide something through this discussion and let them see what this letter is saying. But this letter, that October 26th letter, 2018, from the FTA to the city, we'll say, both parties. The gentleman says, I received a similar letter from Honolulu City Council Chairman Ernest Martin. Chairman Martin's letter describes the city council's plans with respect to legislative action supporting these funds. Because your letters touch on the same subject, I'm sending the same response to both of you. Then he goes on to say, on September 15, 2017, Hart submitted to FTA a recovery plan asserting that the city would provide $20 million in funding towards the project in Hart's fiscal year 2018 budget and an additional $24 million in funding towards the project of fiscal year 2019. This recovery plan was approved by the City Council by Resolution 17-266-FD1 on October 6, 2017. Since then, FTA has held numerous discussions with you, Hart, and the City Council members in which FTA conveyed its expectations that Hart follow through on the recovery plan. Timely actions demonstrating commitment to the recovery plan are vital, as that plan is predicated on the project ultimately receiving a total of $214 million in city funds. So go ahead and give us some backdrop on that, a background on that. What are they saying here?
They're saying basically, initially, when the city to the mayor and Hart submitted the financial plan back in September 15, 2017, and that's when the FDA received it, it was incomplete.
Mm-hmm.
In plain language, it was incomplete. And when they looked at terms of their financial plan, I mean, the FTA is looking for a financial plan, they questioned, where is this $44 million coming from? And what is it for? Okay? And so it was not explained. Okay? And, you know, in the past, remember now, Kirk Caldwell has gone to the legislature and go to council, and he said, we don't need any more money, we have enough money. Before Act 1 of the state legislature back in 2017 was introduced, he said, oh, I need more money now.
Mm-hmm.
And the legislature said, wow, you come back with us to different stories. What are you doing? Right? We don't trust you anymore.
And this is that same scenario, similar, that you used to describe mortgage. The mayor, these things should have been prepared, and they should be equipped with these and ready to dispose of them when they ask for them or disclose
right.
them. And what they're, I won't say they're being chastised. They're simply being reminded, look, you said that we'll do this if you do that. And we'll, if you do that, we'll do this. And yet, they're still circling the wagon, they being the city council and the mayor. But
right.
the letter goes right. on to say, in addition to the funding identified in the September 2017 recovery plan, an additional $134 million shortfall was identified earlier this year during the FTA risk assessment of the project. And FTA communicated this to Hart in June 2018. Recent. As stated in my September 21, 2018 letter, Hart must identify the funding sources for that shortfall by November 20th, 2018, in the revised recovery plan that FTA has requested. This is nailing them their feet to the floor and saying, no, if you got a business plan, a recovery plan, we want to know about it. We want to see it. You've offered one that is kind of weak and noncommittal. We want to know how, what, when, and where.
Right.
They're not doing that.
Yeah. Here's a point of interest. You know, the city council is acting too emotionally and too rapidly. You know, it was coming Tuesday on October the 30th. They want to adopt a Bill 42. It's premature. All they have to do is make a demand of the mayor and the Hart to give a second financial plan to Hart by November 20th, 2018, which is what Hart is asking for. Clarification. Why are they jumping the gun?
Hart or FTA?
No, Hart is jumping
okay,
the gun.
Okay.
And the mayor by saying, oh, we need additional money when they don't have to at this time.
Mm-hmm.
All they gotta do is properly respond to FTA, the Federal Transit Administration, and say, well, we acknowledge the terms of your questions, therefore here are our answers.
Mm-hmm.
you don't have to say, oh, we're going to put more extra money now, right? When you're not, when FTA is not requesting for additional money.
Mm-hmm. Now, again, I'm a layman, and I'm reading this from a taxpayer sense standpoint and a watchdog, but I have a right to make assumptions and draw conclusions based on what's available to me. So this letter goes on to say, and this is an interesting point that really caught my attention, and says that there's some skullduggery going on here on the part of the mayor and the city council, because they're both, the lights went on, they were both in the closet together working out some deal that really, the deal is basically screw the taxpayer once again. That's ultimately what's going to happen. But this particular paragraph in this 2018 letter, October 26th, further, as FTA has stated clearly in previous communications, funds will be considered committed, and that's critical, committed once they are fully available to the project without any other approvals needed. So that statement alone says that, well, now, Mr. Mayor, you don't have it. You were told you needed it by November 20th, 2018. You don't have it. Now you're running and saying you want to float bonds. Well, that's not the plan. You don't have, it's not fully funded. It's not a package. It's not a complete package. So basically, somewhere down the line, the mayor should have just told the public, look, we haven't gotten our act together. We are required to. Funds will be considered committed once they are fully available. So if you're still debating bonds, then it's not, you can't commit it, right?
Right. And let me bring some interesting information. For my 28 years of as being a legislator, you know, the state of Hawaii generates revenues from excise tax, meaning excise tax, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all projected money. And the federal government knows this too. So all Hart has to do, along with the mayor, is say that the state of Hawaii projected X number of million dollars for the construction of the rail. Now, we're talking about only construction of the rail. We're not talking about operations or maintenance in the future, okay, at this time. So basically, if you were to send such a response that I stated, and the legislature provided the money, and they said that projections are for revenue is coming in even better, okay, for the state, and in return to give to the city for the rail.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wrong with giving that of an answer to FTA? Because FTA would accept it. That's how the federal government operates, too. It's based on terms of income tax.
But what we're doing is we're offering explanations or excuses for them. Their feet have been nailed to the floor on these specifics. They're not in the business, they being FTA, is not in the business of determining on behalf of the city what funding sources they're going to use.
Right.
And it's none of their business. They don't care. They're just saying your recovery plan must be complete and you must have money that have been committed and can be committed, period, before we – that's what they're saying. Now,
okay. The money is committed. Committed to the 0.5% excise tax.
But apparently not
and,
so.
And 1%.
But according to this letter, now, maybe it has. When did the 1% tax, or when did it pass?
It passed last year.
Last year. When is this letter?
And that was in November.
Right, but this letter is written in October 26, 2018, very recent. So whatever they did last year, it wasn't enough to commit. And to go further in this letter, and I didn't fully understand much of this, but I'm getting a better picture now. And thank you for sharing this letter, because the public don't have access to these. We just get the lip service from old Slick Caldwell, you see. Everything that's broken, it's somebody else's fault, but he's working on it. But under the process identified by the city, in which it is needed, let me go back here. Further, as FTA has stated clearly in previous communications, funds will be considered committed now, once they are fully available for the project. Well, you can't commit what has not been approved. You might speculate, and then without any other approvals needed. Without any other approvals needed. So when they want a complete package, when they knock on the door and say, here is our submittal and our speaking to our recovery plan and all, it's complete. They're saying, we don't want without any other approvals needed. Under the process identified by the city in which it decided to issue bonds for the project, FTA would consider the funds committed once the bonds have been issued and the funds are available to the project. Well, they hadn't issued any bonds, right?
Right, right.
So if they haven't issued any, they can't have a full recovery plan. So someone is BSing someone, and that BS, I think, is what they're feeding the public with the explanation. It's quite concise and clear. Then it goes on to say, this principle was discussed in April 16th, 2018 meeting between FTA Acting Administrator Mr. Robbins and which was also attended by you, Chairman Martin, and U.S. Senator Brian Schatz.
Right.
During that meeting, Chairman Martin committed to completing the budget process by July 2018. Mm-hmm. Did they do that?
It goes back to the terminology of committed, okay? From a government standpoint, commitment means in terms of what is your commitment of your budget.
Right.
Okay? And then the state has committed in terms that 0.5% excise tax and also the additional 1% hotel room tax already.
Well,
so
why
that's
the
commitment.
Why don't
but
the
what
city
happened,
just
Kirk
say
Cabral
that?
Is using an interpretation of the commitment to say, oh, we need an additional $44 million.
Well, why don't they just say that the news report would be, we have submitted our final report and it's committed, and then this is what we're doing. We approve bonds and all that.
Why? You know, reporters are not really Akamai today.
And
you know, there's actually no presence of reporters out there in the community. Like, for example, China 2 only has two reporters that go out into the community. And they choose their stories. Also, too, a lot of reporting from the news media is secondary information, not firsthand.
You have
Associated Press and so forth, and then the word gets changed around in terms of the story is.
But let me. I'm not defending the media, I think, and not disagreeing with you, but the reality is this. This letter is between three parties, so to speak. It should be four, between the public and Caldwell and the city council and FTA. But it's not the way it is. The media, if the media don't fully understand it and not being communicated to that, hey, they gave us a date and said that we must submit our plan, a recovery plan, and we must have it fully funded. Unless Caldwell is speaking that and attaching this letter to the press release, that he's, and we'll talk about his press release. It's nothing to do with the media, in my opinion, from my standpoint. It's about people lying to the public and hoodwinking them. And so, yes, the media has a deficit of integrity at times on certain stories and political influences. But in this one, you just got a bunch of lying people gathered in a room that's sticking the screw to the public, and they're eyeballing. Ultimately, it's either the purchase across the counter that you're going to get taxed, or if you're a tourist coming here, you're going to get taxed, or they'll eyeball our property and tax it. So
right.
I don't believe, I'm not disagreeing with anything you've said or what have you. It's just that at some point we need to lay the blame on these guys have been pimping us, and I use that term, the city council, the mayor. And FTA is now standing there, and as someone pointed out to me, you know how Mr. Trump does business, President Trump. You know that. So he has a tenacious appetite for, a voracious one, I should say, for making the Democrats do what's right.
Right.
So I don't blame him. I'm going to send him a box of lollipops for that one, because we are getting the screw, and then we're getting this back and forth. But this letter is damning. It's telling. It says this is the status of this situation. Ernie Martin is, and we'll get to that, but let me just go on here. During this meeting, the principal was also communicated, this principal was also communicated to Hart through an email from Bruce Robinson, FTA's acting associate administrator for program management, on May 21, 2018. In that email exchange, Hart indicated to Mr. Robinson that the bonds would likely be issued in late August or early September 2018. So liar, 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 pants on fire. And then they give you now a November 20th date, 2018. And then the mayor runs out and say, well, we got a crisis. We might have to float some bonds. And the city council say, well, we pull that bill and we're going to vote on it again and back and forth, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Everything goes back in terms in reference to the word commitment. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
A commitment is whereby where the funds are coming from. It doesn't mean that you have to have cash on hand right now. Basically.
Right.
Okay.
So the
mayor is using this term commitment to say, I got to have the cash on hand. So therefore, I want Bill 42, which buys bonds, okay, mm-hmm. to get loan money, you have cash on hand. You know, you already have a promise from the legislature, you know, that you're going to have this revenue coming in from in the future, and they extended it beyond the original time.
Right.
Now I think it's beyond 2028.
And that was the taxes, right?
Half percent tax.
Half percent tax.
And that's millions of dollars.
Half percent tax, right?
Yeah, and then you have a commitment additionally, which the hotels didn't like.
Right.
An additional hotel room tax of 1%. That's millions of dollars more. So what I see is that the mayor is using this term of commitment to say he needs cash on hand now is develop a slush fund.
Well, let me ask you this, Rod. Mm-hmm. Will the bonds have any relationship to the half percent tax, hotel tax?
No.
So they're not, we're offering a defense for them that they didn't bother to offer for themselves. Half percent tax is not entered into the discussion. And is not part of the discussion, and establishing the recovery plan. The recovery plan is simple. Let us know. We don't care what you do, but you've committed bond, and the subject of bonds come up, and you committed to that. You didn't say, "Well, we're working on the half percent tax," and you know, you say the bond. So let's excuse the half percent tax and focus on, if we could, why there's this inability on the part of the mayor and the city council to strike up the band and play the right music that FTA want to hear. Stick to the song, sticking to the script. So they go on and they go, FTA has exercised considerable, I love this, has exercised considerable patience in waiting for the city to identify and implement the method it would use to provide the $44 million. Yet the process is still incomplete. So running out there, we need more money. We need more money, and we need to do some bonding. No, tell us, the FTA has caught us and told us that we're not performing properly. We're not delivering what they're asking us to get the money. But we're going to turn and sell bonds. And, well, you can do whatever you want to do, but you better do it within the confines of what it is that FTA is asking. And apparently they're not doing that. And that's where the dysfunctionality in this whole city council thing. Alternatively, the use of bonds is a local decision.
Right.
Alternatively, the city could consider other funding mechanisms to meet FTA's specified 2018 time frame. Absent a viable path forward, FTA may proceed with the remedies set forth in the full funding grant agreement for this project. So that sounds like if they don't come up with it, that Caldwell will be on a grand hunt for more money because he won't get what he needs. This is rather damning. I don't know. I don't think the media, this was withheld from the media, or the media decide not to talk about it.
Well, the news media has been emphasizing, along with Caldwell, we need additional money. We need additional money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And they don't know the whole story. They don't understand the whole story. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't even understand government budgeting, basically. And all of the Mayor Caldwell has to do and Hart is respond by November 20th of 2018 to say that we have budgeted the dollars. The dollars are coming from the state, the 0.5% excise tax, and the 1% hotel room tax, along with the federal contribution. Okay? And we have an itemized budget for you. Okay? And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to spend that money? In other words, the itemized budget, okay? Being based on those revenues. Okay? FTA is not asking the city for a commitment from putting in additional money. They're asking, give us your budget and your expenditures, projected expenditures, so we can make sure that you are not misusing the funds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've already got inside word, that Mayor Kurt Caldwell and Hart are commingling money from the bus, the city bus fares and the handicap fares.
Well, I wish somebody would produce that, but.
Yeah, and people have told me on the side, and I'm gonna give that information to a state auditor who's now doing a state audit on the, rail.
Mm-hmm.
Construction.
I look at this and appreciating the fact that I was even shared. This was shared with me because
right.
I watched the mayor and I watched the city council, and you know I know that there were deadlines set along the way, or benchmarks or whatever you want to call them, you know, mm-hmm. and they didn't meet them, and now we're our backs against the wall. Now, Caldwell did say in this letter, but it sounds so, I think it must have been when they were drinking Mai Tais at 5 or something.
Uh-huh.
Statement on FTA's response to rail funding deadlines, and this is from the mayor. The Federal Transit Administration Authority today responded in writing to both Mayor Caldwell and Council Chair Ernest Martin to clarify the funding requirements and deadlines for the rail project, and then C letter states, the letter formalizes most of the points made in the telephone conference call on Wednesday morning, October 24th, in particular that $44 million in city funds must be fully available to use for rail, with no further actions required. That is with the caveat that and this must be completed in a fashion where they will not accept any more action. It's done.
Right.
This means the city would not have time to issue bonds and have those funds available prior to the FTA's deadline of November 20th.
Right. You're right. Because, you know, being a financial analyst, okay, you don't cash bonds at any time. You have to wait for the right timing so you get your investment money.
Right.
Because the cashing bonds is a debt, a IOU, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If today's interest return is very small, you're not going to cash the bonds today. You're going to wait until the interest is better so you can get the most bang out of your dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, the letter formalizes, and it goes on, the letter concludes by saying that, quote, the use of bonds is a local decision, end quotes, and alternatively, the city could consider other funding mechanisms to meet the FTA's specified 2018. Time frame. Well, yeah, it did say that's end quote. But it did say that. But the point that jumps out at me, and what causes me concern is that how much time, I mean, they don't, as important as Israel and as much as we spent on it, these are the last few yards of the race, so to speak, and they can't deliver?
We already have the commitment. We have the commitment, once again, from the state.
But why, I guess what I'm begging for is, what is it that prevent them from saying that?
Because Kirk Cardwell and Hart want more money. They want a slush fund. They don't have any. You know, and also too, let me add to that by saying that the Bill 42 and the resolution accompanying it, you know, for Tuesday's hearing, basically allows the mayor to commingle money, okay, and also to increase the property tax to pay for the rail.
Okay,
and he's been promising all those years that he would never increase property tax.
So you thinking that this is an opportunity, while the lights are out for the changing of the film, people going to sneak in. So he's going to take some money and create a slush fund.
Yes, because when I was on the city council, we passed legislation whereby there would be no commingling of funds, yeah, and then your money, your resources would come from the state. And we would not tax for construction of the rail.
But to suggest that would mean that we would be indicting and saying that the city council is complicit in the mayor, so they're just both one and the same, behind closed doors or in the closet.
Yes. You know, so the city council, was much more independent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you have some conies along with the mayor, okay? One of them basically is a strong supporter of the mayor and would do anything. Like a puppet is council member Ron Minor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's a puppet to the mayor.
Well, what about Kimberly Pine?
Kimberly, yeah, all of a sudden she changed guard, you know. And basically, I don't know why. You know, I haven't talked to her. But, you know, it's a matter of terms of where your alignment is so that you can retain power too, yeah?
But assuming...
I know that Ron Minow is a puppet to the mayor.
Yeah, assuming all that is true, it's still... And then this might offer some credibility to your concerns, and that is, if the 1.5% if the 0.5% tax was the remedy or the cure-all for the to meet the FTA's requirements,
right,
with the plan, then it either fell short, does not meet it, or it does satisfy it, but they just decide, well, hold off, let's manipulate the people. Let's manipulate this circumstance so that we can – we already know we're going to make the November 20th deadline. But you see, the problem is with that is that there were other deadlines along the way, and they didn't make them.
Right. So if I was FTA, I would be frustrated too because you're not responding.
Right.
And
so
you're playing games with me.
So what my take on this is that we just have a bunch of people that's unskilled. And all it is that the only reason we call them city councilmen is that people are too damn lazy to go out and vote.
Yes. So a lot of them are not skilled in terms of financing.
They
which
have
is
not
the main ingredient for doing their jobs.
Have not demonstrated any aptitude for when I'm seeing this, because if you had the 0.5% and they knew they were under the gun to get this plan and didn't get it, and then finally they're cornered again, and now we're going to change horses in the middle of the stream. We're going to do bonding.
Right.
And so now both of those are, and then you got to go back and whip Ernie Martin into fear shape or beat him and threaten him, or he feels that politically he's not going to be viable for elections in another. So now he has to get in the fray and start it up again, but not conveying to the public what the real situation is.
Right. I'm looking at it in terms of what the FTA is saying.
Yeah.
Show us your commitment. The commitment is saying, okay, who's committing what money to you, to the rail, okay?
Right.
And in this case, it's the state and the federal, okay? And then they're not asking for the city to make any monetary commitment, okay? Mm-hmm. Because initially, way past, initially when the city signed the contract with FTA, they knew that there was no commitment of city dollars, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It was all coming from the state. And the state projections for the revenue on the 0.5% tax for the future said it's increasing. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Even the city administration admitted that it's increasing. Party admitted said it's increasing.
Do we know with certainty that the recovery plan, when it was the deadlines that they were offering to the FTA, claiming that the 0.5% would make it?
No, I don't have that information with me, but initially, you know, there's been so many reports, basically. And this is what one of the problems that even a state auditor has. He can't get information. Somehow, conveniently, Hart has lost the information, the public records.
Or did they ever have it?
Yeah, and there's a lot of cooking of the books, per se.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why so many people resigned. Well, they resign because they don't want any part of it. If they smell something that's wrong, I don't want to be a part of them, right?
Yeah.
So they quit the job.
So here's this the mayor's final statement, quoting him again. Mm-hmm. I want to thank Ernie Martin, our chair Ernie Martin, for pulling Bill 42 from the City Council's Budget Committee and expeditiously holding special sessions at Honolulu Holly for the purpose of passing needed legislation on rail funding.
Right.
Said Mayor Caldwell, end quote. We will be working on alternatives to meet the FTA's requirement by the stated date, November 20th deadline, while also being completely transparent with the public and not placing the city in legal jeopardy. We want to work closely with both City Council and Hart and ensure FTA does not have to proceed with remedies that would negatively impact the city. I don't know. I'm not a financial guru, and I don't proclaim to be, but there's something about this. What is it, 2016, the letter was written, 2018, November, October 26th.
Yeah.
So that's going to less than 25 days, let's say less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
And they're now, they've had a couple of years, and now all of a sudden, all that's needed is to, sell bonds? And what are they going to sell the bonds from? What are they bonding?
Well, you're selling away the city.
For what?
Basing it on whatever asset. But let me say this. The city is a deficit right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it has been a deficit for years.
Mm-hmm.
And then, actually, in true story, the city is bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've been borrowing money, notes, on every single project there is available.
Now, and does this mean that, in looking at this, it suggests that Ann Kobayashi could possibly find real justification and some people willing to follow suit to sell the Border Water Supply property and sell other properties to, is that possible? Is this maybe politicians of seeing their days that the corn's going to be harvested now and they're going to get their share and get what it is that they want to?
It's opportunity. It can happen.
Yeah, I just can't dismiss the thought of hearing and being reminded that they had all this together and this was going to pay for it. You remember when they first started out, the selling the rail and the funding? How many times has it morphed into just one screwdriver after another?
Well, you know, you're right. And in fact, I initiated an association called Financial Accountability for Rail Master, mass transportation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's registered in the state of Hawaii, okay? And it's a non-profit. Basically, we don't generate revenue, okay? And in fact, we don't have any revenue, quite frankly. So we dig money out of our own pocket to duplication and all that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So what it is we sent letters to Congress, to the House of Representatives, and to the Senate, asking them to do an audit, a financial audit on the revenue of taxpayers' money, of the federal, that was given already to the city and county of Honolulu. Because the federal, the FTA, said we're still holding on to a balance of money until you show us concreteness of your financial plan, which they have not done so. So we're taking a step and say, well, there's a lot of financial unaccountability. And federal, why don't you do an audit, basically? Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting for a response on that.
Right. Asking the Fed to... But
right.
I think the Fed would... If I was the Fed, I would say, no, we don't... We're just going to be throwing good money after bad. We don't need to have an audit.
Well, basically...
What we're going to do is we're going to hold them accountable. They've had many occasions. And just in 30 days... We'll see what the Trump administration is really made of.
Right.
And if they don't deliver, then we're going to see, you know, I mean, how many times do you get to throw and the horseshoe, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How many times, you know?
Yeah.
Are you going to create new rules or you're going to bend them for the state, for the city of Honolulu? When other cities will probably be decrying foul play if you are tolerant of the city and county of Honolulu's procrastination and, you know. So
right.
that's really something that jumps out at me and says, hey, this is worth talking about or looking at. And speaking of that, say no to increasing city taxes. I think this is your organization that you're with.
Right, right. We're going
to
be
canvassing
downtown tomorrow, Monday.
Okay.
And passing out flyers to let the public know that Bill 42 is up for a public hearing before the city council.
Now, are you objecting to Bill 42 or your organization?
Yes, I am. Yes, we are.
And
yes.
Why would you be objecting to Bill
42? Bill 42 puts into gear to cash bonds of 42. $44 million.
Mm-hmm. $450 million.
Yeah. So the $44 million capability to cash bonds would be to Bill 42.
Yeah, I got this slide here. The city and county of Honolulu is council is having a public hearing, Bill 42 CD1, relating to funding.
Along with other resolutions, which technically the city council got to give approval also along with the money bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, authorizing the sale of $450 million
right.
for rail construction and resolution 18-132, authorizing the sale of 44,000 bonds, I guess, for rail construction. I still would like to know what bonds they would, what would they, for rail construction and resolution. What is it, you got, can you give us any idea what they would be selling the bonds?
No, I don't know.
What would normally be?
Well, basically, you have to have backing in order to cash in for bonds. Yeah.
So what would they cash in? That's what I'm asking, I guess.
Well, you cash in the name of the city. Quite frankly, a municipal government. That's what it is, and it's an IOU. Now, if you don't have enough good rating, yeah, cash on hand to back it up.
Yeah.
You're going to charge a higher rate of interest for borrowing that money. That's what it is.
Caldwell and the city council and their friends go, I owe you and me too.
And then to raise that money to pay back, yeah?
Yeah.
For those bonds, you got to raise property tax. And that's what Kirk Caldwell wants to do.
So we talk about politics and all in this Could this be a catalyst or for some people to wake up, or are we still going to be the sheep and the cows
well,
out in the pasture
cattle,
just waiting to be milked.
I thank you for your and my discussion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an open discussion, bringing forth factual information that's happening within our local government.
So ultimately, and we don't have to run away, that's the joy of having this talk808.com. It's not by the hour, it's by the power. It's about power,
right.
People power.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
So in this, a couple things you pointed out, expends city bonds, borrowed money for city rail construction, which results in increased taxpayers' debt.
Right.
Ponzi scheme. Borrowing from Peter to pay Paul results in debt disaster. And then it causes increases in city property taxes and other city taxes to pay taxpayers' debt. Then enables Mayor Caldwell to commingle city funds to pay for over-budgeted rail construction.
Right.
So you want to meet at on Tuesday, October 30th, 2018 at 9 a.m. at the Legislative Matters Committee.
Right.
And then at the City County of Honolulu Hall, City Hall of City and County Council Chambers. And then you're saying say no to increasing city taxes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is I was looking at the paper this morning, the paper, and I think they could do a little more justice to these, calling these councilmen and the mayor out rather than just printing. What I can say I've learned about the newspaper, especially, many of the reporters there now just wait for press releases.
Yeah. And then, well, you know, basically,
if you read the press
I found out that news has to be sensational.
Yeah.
But it's also one-sided many times. Association has written editorials to the news to say to start advertising,
but
and they refuse to print.
Let's try to. I would try not to recruit you and thinking in a different pattern is to say that when your government screws you and your government fails you,
mm-hmm.
and you have the aptitude to and you see these things and you know a screwing when you see one.
Yes.
Why gravitate to the media when, in fact, it's the culprit is and the catalyst is for your thinking is government failing to and being corrupt and being clandestine and being closed doors. And then when a man tells me, oh, it's all about transparency in Caldwell's letter, we want to be transparent. You're talking about accusing Donald Trump of not being transparent.
Right.
I mean, how in hell can Caldwell talk about transparency when everything about Hart is about executive meetings, closed doors, back doors? We don't even get to know what the city council, Colleen Hanabusa represented the city council, even though they were taking money from, you follow?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then we leave that on the just sitting out there and drinking and relax, and then we run over here and say, oh, it's the media. No. It's a bunch of people that have gotten in the government self-serving and serving their friends and their special interests. That's what's aching and ailing Honolulu or in Hawaii.
Oh, yes.
The media has its you know, I mean, you're not this paper, the size of it, for example.
Mm-hmm.
It's a market. It's a business. And people ain't going to spend their money to just sit there and write garbage. But they also, when you write a press release, hey, some of those reporters figure, I got my job is to write something. Right?
Mm-hmm.
The editorial staff has been changed. It's the Star Advertiser. You get a story and you got to call them and pitch a story. You can't say, hey, I just fell in a hole and, you know, I broke my arm and leg. And I think the responsible party is the city and county. You can't, and it's ongoing right now. You're likely to get nothing. But if you pick up the phone and call the editor and say, hey, would you be interested in doing this kind of story? You know, it's gotten to that.
Mm.
You see, but again, I just personally hate taking people by the rein and saying, let's go over here and bitch about the newspaper. when in fact we all the energy should be expended at the doorstep of the city council and the mayor and the governor.
Right, Because we tried to share the information through various means, but we found out the hard way that Star Advertiser is not open to even looking at information, which was factual information at that.
Well, they're on survival mode. You remember in the in the computer in the earlier when the computer go bad on you and they say, "Do you want to operate in safe mode?" That's the state of our newspaper. I mean, I call them up and tell them, and it's gotten to the point. Well, oh, that's Carol Cox, and you know, it's like, well, hell, it's okay with me. I'm giving you stories.
Right,
you're not giving me anything, and you know whether my name is mentioned in it or not. The fact is, if you're covering news, you're covering news.
Yeah,
you know
that's why I really appreciate having you around, because there wouldn't be any fairness of opportunity to share what's going on in government.
Yeah. Well, we're going to try to build this talk808.com and allow people, as long as they're honest and straightforward and not maligning someone and, you know, speaking hatred and putrid nonsense. Yeah. I mean, we're going to make it. It's available to anybody out there that want to come on and talk.
And, well, I appreciate it. And that's why I sent those two letters to you, respectively.
We're going to post those letters up on carolcox.com, and they can access them by going through talk808.com or carolcox.com and just go to today's show, click on that. And, you know, I appreciate you giving me a call and sharing this with me, but is there anything else on this you want to talk about?
Yeah, I just want to, I want to summarize in terms of what's going on, okay? Basically, the Mayor Kirk Caldwell and Hart is using their interpretation of their own on the term commitment, okay, of this $44 million, which they didn't explain back in September 15th of 2017. So Federal Transportation Administration, known as the FTA, is saying, where is this money? How can you mention this money? You know, and remember now, that money, $44 million, was mentioned even before the idea of what Mayor is saying, that I want to cash bonds. Okay, so the word commitment means show us in terms of how you, where you're going to get this $44 million and how you're going to spend the $44 million, because you mentioned about it in your report of September 15, 2017. FDA is talking to Hart, right? Basically, and then the FDA gets upset and says, "Hey, you haven't responded to us." So they sent a letter in terms of September of this year, 2018. Okay, and they said, "We want to respond from you by November 20th of 2018." So Mayor Kurt Caldwell, here's a scenario. And Hart said, hey, this is an opportunity. We need money. We want a slush fund. Let's use the basis of having to cash bonds, because we blame the federal FTA.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And we're going to show the commitment that we have the cash. But again, as you and I were talking earlier, there's no assurance you're going to cash any bonds, because you're going to wait for the market to be good. Right?
Right.
Okay. But the word commitment basically in government means that show us how you're going to get this money. Okay? And we do have the resources for that money. We have the state government. Again, the state is providing 0.5% excise tax, which was increased. You know, not to the desire of taxpayers, but 0.5% more, other than the 4% tax, okay? And then, the state government, this last year, increased the hotel room tax to 1%, and the hotels didn't like it, quite frankly. Okay? So you have those two sources of revenue coming in, along with the federal. And the federal say, well, we give you X number of dollars, the state give you X number of dollars, identify how you're going to use all this money. but you failed to identify the $44 million, which you stated. Why did you say $44 million for? Okay. Mm-hmm. And so that's all this, the HUD got to do, and the mayor, is explain that the $44 million is coming from the state, and if the federal releases the money, the balance of what they said they would grant, then the money is coming from there, too. And we have an account in how we're going to spend it. It's all, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
And so the mayor, of course, when you cast bonds, yeah, it's borrowed money. You got to pay it back. We don't have any cash on hand. We don't have any additional revenues other than property tax. So the mayor is saying, okay, you know, I'm not going to tell people this, but it's been disclosed by the news media that I want to increase the property tax to pay for this debt, which really the federal government has not asked for. The federal government would never ask a local government to increase their debt. They don't want that because why? The local government within the United States would ask for more federal funds. Right?
Right.
And then they have problems already. You have 50 states and you have thousands of, you have hundreds of cities and counties. You think they want to have to open up the pot of gold, say, to give to each one? No, they'd rather not. If you can survive without incurring debt, then they would be happy about it, right?
Right.
The federal government only wants to fund federal projects, basically. They don't want to fund local projects, in essence. So they don't want the local government to incur debt on their own projects.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you can't afford it, and, you know, you're asking your parents to buy you a nice car, a new car, and they say, well, we can afford to buy you the car, but there's upkeep. You know, you got to pull maintenance, oil change, gas, fuel, tires, inspections, and all of those things. And then 2 months from here, this nice car is sitting on the side of the road.
Yeah.
No tires, right?
Right, right.
And just cluttering the scenery. And this is what we have. And I don't know if it will, the real demise is, there's been so many second chances given with the rail. I'm basically saying.
Well, there's no firm budget, that's why.
Stout-fisted funding source or stout approval that they're getting like FTA. FTA, if it flexes its muscles and say, no, this is the taxpayer, the American taxpayer is getting fleeced again.
Mm-hmm.
Enough already. You've had your chances. We're not giving you another public dollar for anything. And you're out of here. Then billion rail.
Right. You know, I give you an example. Within my neighborhood, I live in Powell Valley, but on the cliffs of Pacific Heights, and it's gone to two owners now, and basically, and the house is not completed. Yeah, and it's mortgage, yeah?
Right.
But what happened is the first owner couldn't keep up with his mortgage because the cost was too much. The estimated X number of dollars, okay, and to build, they had to excavate some of the hillside. Okay?
Right.
And they had to pop the furnace and started building. And all of a sudden it stopped. Yeah. And because they only borrowed so much money from the bank, right? Now it's been now the second owner, now 2 years, it's only maybe one fourth, almost half finished, okay? The shell of the house, basically, but not the inside. Okay, and then it stopped again. It's been on hold for about 6 months now. So this is a case in terms of bad budgeting, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And this is what has happened where Hart and the mayor did bad budgeting.
One of the points I wanted to ask you, help me clarify if you could. In this 2018 letter, October 26th from FTA, it says, in addition, the funding identified in September 2017 recovery plan, an additional $134 million shortfall was identified earlier this year during the FTA risk assessment of the project. And FTA communicated this to Hart in June 2018. As stated in my September 21 letter, 2018 letter, Hart must identify the funding source for that shortfall by November 20th. I didn't find that in the mayor's press release, so we're talking $44 million. They're saying you had a shortfall for $134 million. Where is that?
Right. So there's two issues. One is the mayor wants, has quit. The FTA has questions about the $44 million. The other is a shortfall.
Not just questions. They're just saying, explain to us what was the shortfall and where's the money.
Right.
So the mayor is saying, give us this money, and then telling the public, well, we need $44 million. But the letter is saying, hey, there's also a shortfall of $134. When will we hear about that one?
Well, that's supposed to be in the November 20th one, too.
Yeah, I'm saying we need to know. But the point is, it exists. There's a shortfall of that. And then there's a $44 million concern. So that's, what, $178 million that is not accounted for or can be explained? I don't know. And I apologize to all of you out there listening.
But. Yeah, you're right, because FTA has been looking over their financial plan, and they had a lot of those two main questions in terms of what is this $44 million you're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
What are you expending it on? Okay, and then secondly, in terms of that shortfall, here's the ironic part. The ironic part is that. Ironic part is that the mayor in last year before the legislature, he said, I'm okay. I don't need any more money. We're fine. I'm covered.
Really?
So what happened is legislators like Sylvia Luke says, hey, we don't trust you anymore.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't
trust him either.
The consensus
of all the legislators is that we don't trust you anymore.
So maybe we need to ask the legislators about this. You think Sylvia Luke would be one person to be good to talk to about this?
I don't know. And basically, I think they're unaware in terms of essentially the details of what's happening.
Do they have a copy of this letter? I mean, the mayor sent out a press release.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know, but I got that that October 26th letter, 2018, from a reliable resource.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Well.
In fact, I got it from Ann Kobayashi. She was willing to share with me. She voted no. Remember?
Right.
Yeah, on the Bill 42, which is up for third reading now.
Mm-hmm. It says here, timely action demonstrating commitment to the recovery plan are vital, as that plan is predicated on the project ultimately receiving a total of $214 million in city funds.
Mm.
So if they don't have the recovery plan, then they can't be moving forward anyway and saying they have anything, because the recovery plan is critical.
Right.
So how can we... Maybe tomorrow, is it possible we can request a copy of the recovery plan?
Yeah, and that's what I'm going to do tomorrow.
Okay.
Request for it. Because how can a city council vote on the updated recovery plan, which Hart produced, when it hasn't been shared with the public?
Right.
And it's going to be adopted? What is that?
Yeah.
Where's the openness, like you said? Where's the openness of government?
Now, I'm just borrowing a term from, the illustrious mayor, where he says in his press, we will be working on alternatives to meet the FTA's requirement by the stated November 20 deadline, while also being completely transparent with the public. and not play,
yes, laughable.
And not placing the city in legal jeopardy.
But he's, remember now, he's on his way out.
Yeah, but also. Yeah.
He doesn't care.
Yes, he does, my friend.
You think so?
There's a seat called the governor's seat. There's a Senate seat. There's a House of Representatives seat. So never.
No, he won't. Congress seat me. No.
Yeah, never count these guys out, man.
Yeah,
once they taste power, and once they get their friends, they've done good things for their friends and special interests. It's the special interests who ask them to further elevate themselves in government so they can steal more from the public.
Yeah, the special interest groups are those that get a return.
Yeah, right? So never – don't look at the – in my world, I don't look at the individual.
That's true.
I look at
the special interest groups.
Right.
I heard that Chao Jiu wants to run for mayor again.
Yeah. Well, when will he ever run?
He's the one that basically went – Iraq war. He used the excuse that he was essential worker.
Yeah.
to not go to Iraq. But, you know, I have to acknowledge and I feel for him because he was scared. Yeah. And I talked to enlisted people and I think my father exercised at Fort Shafter.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to enlisted, what do you think about in terms of something like this that happened? He said, well, if he's scared as a captain, and we don't want him there. I said, why? I said, well, he gives us orders, and we don't, and if the orders are not right, we get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's a desk person. He's not a front man out there in a battlefield. He's a desk person.
But he's an American, and he's saying that he's looking out for America's interests. I don't buy when people tell me about cowards and people.
Yeah, well, basically he used the excuse that he's an essential worker. He wasn't an essential worker as a councilman. Yeah.
Well, where I come from is that I joined the Army and during the Vietnam War, I joined. Yeah. They didn't recruit me. They didn't force me to.
Uh-huh.
And I went in, wasn't even out of high school, signed up and was in the delayed entry. So I don't buy that bullshit about they're fearful and they're afraid. You either love this country.
That's what I was told.
No, I'm just saying. I'm just telling you. In my world, you either love America and you stand.
You cannot be afraid. You cannot be afraid when you join the service.
No. You serve in your country. I mean, you go in and you serve your country, and you know the adversity of war. And but to say that he was afraid, I can give him a list of people that weren't afraid, and they went and volunteered.
Right. And you're right. You know what you get into when you join the service.
You're serving your country.
And
you either die for it or you don't die for it. I mean, it's real simple, you know.
You don't go there for the money.
Right. You don't go there for the money and the elevation of you as an individual. Collectively.
And the retirement system.
See, I know I sound I'm so crass when I speak, but I don't have time for BS.
Yeah.
Because I know when I sat in Mississippi and I was in high school in those days, recruiters didn't go and talk to your parents. They talked to you.
Right.
Come on, let's go down here to the reserve office and get you signed up. Hell, exactly. Let's do that. I'm an American, and you understand? And did my mother talk about suing the government? No. It was like, hey, that's what he want to do, and that's what he want to go and serve his country. Let him go.
Right, right.
Period. There was no you signed my son up when I wasn't supervising him, and he wasn't in his presence. How dare you? I mean, now I know it might argumentatively some people might say, well, how horrible of the government. No, I wanted to go in. So when I hear about cowards talking about they want to be congressmen and this and that, and then I'm thinking, wow, that's funny. All I wanted to do was serve my country. Just go. You know? So, and I had cousins that served, and one went to Vietnam three times.
Yeah.
You know?
My grandfather served as an enlisted man, and when he retired after World War II, he was a major.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I
my
wish
my father was a first-class sergeant when he retired from Army Reserve.
I wish I could be a little more eloquent, but if you hear that, I really don't care when a guy tells me. The only thing he can show me of himself in the military is a pink practice rifle.
Uh-huh.
And his uniform, and it's in his campaign for Congress.
Uh-huh.
You know, let me tell you about the guys that died.
Yeah.
The ones that, the teenage boys that went there and died. And here right. you are, you chicken shit. You can't go and serve your country. And when you do go, it's a manipulated, oh, I'm going to stay behind the lines because I'm a JAG. I'm a JAG officer. Well, they can use some law, a lawyer assistant on the front line.
Hey, maybe he doesn't know how to shoot a gun. You don't know.
But no, I don't go around boasting about my military background. But you know, if you love this country and you are an American,
oh yeah, by all means,
it's not conditioned on whether you get to.
Well, you know,
elevate
that's why you and I share what's going on in government.
Yeah,
because we care.
Yeah, well, I mean,
right?
Wouldn't be doing it if I didn't.
I
do like
and then,
Charles
you know, basically, you know, we spend our own money out of our own pocket in doing so.
And then seeking to ask him a question, try to call one of them up. Try to call Gene Ward up and ask him a question. He's as American as apple pie, but try to get him to talk to you. You know, all these guys, there's something, some genetic problem when they... I believe anyone that take the love of their country and put it first and say, well, look at me. You should vote for me. I got this uniform on and look at my rank. And no. There are guys that are laying over there getting bitten by spiders and crickets and really fighting. And you got to stay in New York City. you know what I mean? I'm sorry.
No. I agree. I agree. In fact, I talked to a lot of enlisted soldiers, and on the side they tell me they don't like officers.
Like John F. Kennedy, right?
Who's
on the patrol boats? Get on a patrol boat. I heard one of those things was almost a sure chance one of your members of your crew going to die because they took the action, right?
Oh yeah, you're out there in the front line, right?
Tulsi Gabbard, you know, it's like, that's an insult in my opinion. I take it as an affront when I
see them. She was not up front, she was in the back. Huh?
No, I'm saying when I see them pulsing, they say, well, I can legally do this. It's not always about legalities.
Yeah.
It's right. about something is sacred. You don't see me wear anything that's military. Nothing. I love my country. If they call me up tomorrow morning and says, hey, let's go. It's time for your old butt to get back in the uniform. I can't fit the uniform again, but they'll have to give me the expanded waistline. but I would go. But you would never see me come back and go, well, here's me and a picture, so you should vote for me. You know, no, it's your civic duty. And so when I see guys that have – I don't know if any of them have been military that are current city council.
No, none.
I don't know, but – and I'm gonna
you have a younger membership now.
But I'm not saying I would project on them, you know, and some of – I had one to say, well, you know, you radicals don't love the country.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, they make good money now, you know. I was talking to an E4.
Mm-hmm.
He makes $40,000 a year.
Good for him. I mean,
that's unbelievable, man.
Yeah, but but have him deployed and have him to leave his family,
right?
His two young boys or her two young girls or his male female.
Yeah.
Now we have to be careful, but. When the sacrifice that you give your country, and you're over there sweating it out, eating rations, and then on this side, kids driving BMWs and trying the worst thing they face is death from texting while driving.
Yeah, They get active duty pay now, too, on top of that.
They should. Yeah. In fact, I don't think military get paid enough.
Right,
Because what I do, I go to bed at nighttime, right? And I say to myself, wow, what a nice house. You know, I came from Mississippi. Didn't have much of anything. Raised our grandmother, grandparents, uncles, and aunts. And now I got a little something.
Yeah.
And then I have to pinch myself and say, now, that's what it is being in America. You know,
if
you put your mind to it, you get back what you work for.
And so
the reason I'm saying that is that much of this thing about guys wearing their uniform, and they say, well, I can legally do that. No, it's being legal should not be what you being respectful and honoring something is what should drive you, first of all, and appreciating something. Once you do those three things, you pretty much won't have the guts to stand up and go, I am Carol Cox. Please vote for me. I served in career and I served in no. You're lucky that you still, you know, that's what we do, because you might make the little private there who didn't get a recognition, but he drove a four-wheel drive, a deuce and a half, and we call them deuce and a halves at that time, and loaded with bullets and beans, and he wasn't going to stop, and he drove all through, but will he rise to the occasion of a general? No, will anybody recognize him? You know? I've noticed here a lot of the military people that serve here, they think that that's a passage to a good life in that in politics, or they go and partner themselves up with a politician. Anyway, it's but maybe we need to call in the Army on this one, on the rail. Getting ripped off.
We are. And basically, again, when I was a state councilman, we made sure, and the people agreed, you know, when they voted for the rail, citywide, and the majority did, that it would not increase taxes of the city, namely that of the property tax, because over 60% of your homeowners are senior citizens. Mm-hmm. How are you surviving? Every time you have an increase in property tax, they're biting their on the teeth, because how am I going to pay for it now? And the property tax is based on market value. Every time there's a house sold in the neighborhood, and although you live there for your life until you die, and you can be a senior citizen, the property tax goes up, and you're living on a fixed income.
Right, and the con, I mean, let me get my house, and I decide to rent it out, and we should tax that and pay school funds. Have you seen the latest waste that a fraud and abuse inspection reports on the Department of Education?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot, Wow.
You know, so anyway, all right, well, Rod, thank you for joining me. And
okay.
We'll
hey, by the way, I want to promote that we should vote yes on a con.
Okay.
Yeah. The reason is that we haven't had a review in terms of the rights of the people here in Hawaii. You and I talk about open government. Now there's less open government. Did you know that basically even in the legislature, you only allow 3 minutes for testimony in a public hearing? And per person? And then on top of that, in the council, it's the same thing. Now, it can go for 1 minute many times, and then only on the first or second and third reading do you have 3 minutes.
Well, I've often said I stay away from those places, and if I have something to say, I say it, and I try to get it disseminated.
But it's very disappointing.
Well,
in terms of having this so-called public process, which is actually a closed door.
The city government and state government and these so-called hearings are nothing more than a slaughterhouse for civil rights. And that is, for example, you and I are contentious. We have an issue that you're on one side and I'm on the other side. For it and you're against it, or are you against it, I'm for it. So all we need to do is to really bolster your case or my case is to get a councilman or a representative or a senator.
Like to vote.
And no. I'm talking about we're in the hearing. And you're allowed 1 minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes per person, right?
Yeah.
But if I want to skew it and twist it and make it favorable, so your representative that you have the ear sits on that committee, and then I come up and I give my minute, and then all that has to, you give your minute. But then the state the representative can call you back for questions. You follow?
Yeah. But you have to program it that way.
No. I'm just telling you. I watch it unfold. It plays out every hearing, and the person that if you're against it and politically, you get pushed to the side, and that party.
Oh yeah.
Gets to come up back up. And clarify, you know it to be true because you know how it works. And we've had enough on that. What? You just gave this monkey 15 minutes.
Yeah. Where's the fairness? Right? Where's the fairness? Yeah.
Yeah. So if you engage in that practice, if you return or allow one to return to the podium for clarification, then it should be written that the other party should not be excluded or minimized.
Right.
And I see it play out, and some people say, well, you don't go to the meetings much. Well, yeah, because I don't want to be the monkey. The grinder, the organ grinder. I'm just jumping around and know what they
are. Well, it's not fair.
Right.
Right now. So why you spend your time going there?
Yeah, for peanuts. So anyway, you've been around that tower a long time.
And there's another issue that we got to take up in the CONCON. We got to take up in terms of having elected judges. Mm-hmm. You know, the Constitution said you had three branches of government, right? Mm-hmm. Administrative, judicial, and legislative. They're supposed to be separate. Well, the judicial system with appointed judges is not a separate. It's political behind the doors. Mm-hmm. Even as a senator before, I had to confirm two judges in circuit court. So I asked the selection commission of the court system, what are their qualifications? He said, the only qualification we have, whether it be district court, circuit court, appeals court, or Supreme Court, is that they have to have a license to practice law. Mm-hmm. I said, what kind of qualification is that? Basically, yeah?
Well, there's a lot of things on my radar. We talk about gerrymandering and on the part of the Republicans on the mainland and what have you. But I suspect right here in Hawaii, we don't have a vigorous and aggressive get out the vote campaign.
No, you don't.
As we should have, because the parties that is involved now, that is in power, and the individuals that are playing the musical chairs. One day you're city council, the next day you're state representative. Those people are not going to get excited when Scott Nago does not deliver enough votes or ballots to certain polling places.
Yeah.
Right? But if it was Republicans doing it, oh, hell, man. It'd be racism and all. But Scott Nago, we had the most major calamity that we've seen in voting on the Neil Abercrombie, was it? And then some problems with Ige. But what happens? He stays in. So I'm suspicious of this so-called – it's not gerrymandering. It's just manhandling the vote here in the state of Hawaii. And if we can change that – you don't necessarily have to change the party, I just think you just need to make them get out there and be aggressive in getting people to vote and have a campaign. You should be able to register anywhere you go in a government office. You should be able to just sign up or sign up by mail or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they say, well, we have that, but no, there's some tricks and that same click, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you for calling in, and we'll talk to you again, and we'll see what shakes out of this one.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Take care.
Aloha to Rod.
Okay. Aloha to you. Bye.
Rod Tam, city citizen, talking about the FTA and city council, city and county of Honolulu, rail budgeting issues, and $44 million. We'll talk to you later. We'll be back soon, and we'll get back with you. CarolCox.com is where you can view these documents that we were talking about. And if any of you want to call in, 782-6627. Okay, welcome back to Talk808.com. This is Carol Cox, The Carol Cox Show. And many of you called in the earlier parts, and feel free to call in again, 782-6627, 808-782-6627, The Carol Cox Show on Talk 808, regarding that the FTA and others had a call that a couple of you called in, and at the time we weren't hooked up to take a call in, and so feel free to call back, 808-782-6627. What we got here is that I'm going to try and make out a call. It's kind of cool with this Talk 808. You have all the controls that you need right here at your fingertips. And I mean just unreal. We're going to call Jack DeFeo and see if he's roused him up.
Good morning.
Aloha there.
Aloha, Carol.
Yes, sir. So you know what we were talking about with earlier with Rod Tam, and I was...
Oh, yes. I was listening intently.
Mm-hmm. And so just explain to you this new system we're using, and we're becoming slowly familiar with it, and so bear with me. But it's the cat's meow, man. It's all that the doctor ordered.
Okay, sounds good. So I will hang with you.
So what,
Carol?
What your view on this whole FTA $44 million, $134 million shortfall that is not explained?
It's an intentionally confusing mess. There's a whole bunch of double dealing with disinformation. It's, you know, it's the old three-card Monty, Carol, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, here it is. It's sleight of hand. And here's the agenda. Here's the behind-the-scenes ploy that they're using. The Caldwell administration is hell-bent, with the help of the city council, to come after our property taxes and commingle city funds. That's the ploy. That's where the disinformation, you know, and the sleight of hand, what's that three thing where you look for the pea under the three little cups? I can't come out at the tip of my tongue.
Shell game.
It's a shell game. Absolutely. You nailed it. You know, that's what it's about. And I'm originally from the northeast coast of New Jersey, and as a young man in the area where I'm from, we all knew who the mafioso were. And when I go to the city council, that's what flashes back to me. I'm in the presence of a bunch of mafia guys That whole city council. All they know how to do is double deal, double talk, double think, you know, and intentionally confuse the public. And they laugh all the way to the bank because they are convinced we're too stupid to figure out what they're up to.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what they take to the bank, Carol. You know, and it's sad. And I would suggest for the public listening that we need to seriously consider a tax, a peaceful tax revolt, because they'll never stop. They keep wanting more, and they will develop strategies to deceive us out of our money.
Mm-hmm.
We need to seriously consider a tax revolt, because we're not getting any representation. The people at the city council, they don't represent the hardworking taxpayer, middle-class people of Hawaii who have to, you know, suffer with all the traffic and what have you and the high cost of living. It's outrageous. Hawaii has the highest cost of living in the U.S., and we just keep, you know, sleepwalking through history, not realizing how we're being manipulated and screwed royally, because we don't have the backbone to hold these individuals accountable. And that's it. That's the big, you know, $64 word. Accountability. There is none. And they keep getting away with it, because that's been the history of politics in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, so, yeah.
This whole process now, in the later stages, almost, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You think FTA is going to close them down, or FTA is going to reject them, or is this just going gentleman's way of masking things?
Well, if two individuals on the city council, and I will go ahead and name them, Ernie Martin and Iakeka Anderson, if they could just, you know, be honest with us, they could communicate to the FDA that we need a delay to evaluate what the options are. And it's not the FDA demanding, you know, $44 million to stay and, you know, to give skin into the game. All the FDA wants is, as Rod was saying, a commitment that they will make good. So...
And a complete recovery plan.
Yes. And from last year, we were told through Act 1 that no city funds would be commingled and the property taxes would be left untouched. You know, so it is so heartbreaking that they consistently break the trust that they work so hard to have us think that they're looking out for our best interest. It's a saga of tears of broken trust. And they expect the hardworking people of Hawaii to just go along to get along. And it's coming to a point where the people are just going to be backed up against the wall, and they've got no option left but to, you know, lash out unnecessarily at how they're being mistreated and how they're being fleeced out of their hard-working taxes. You know? And here we are.
And once we find ourselves at that moment, what's the relief? It's the government inflicting the injury. It's the government who you're going to appeal to, so you're not going to get any relief. What do you do? Like, for example, my property, your property, we're taxed to the max. Now you can't afford to pay it, so you're out of the game. It's like sitting at a roulette table. You put all your chips in one roll and you lose.
Well, we need, Carol, to break free of the comfort zone, you know, that we find ourselves in, and have got to prepare ourselves to making sacrifices. And what that means, you need to reach out to your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, whoever you can, and talk. Talk story. Let them know. Spread the information. The awakening is happening, but it's got to be accelerated. And the only way to make that happen is to reach out, communicate, talk with your friends, your associates, and let's bond, let's unify, let's organize.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee, Carol, I guarantee you that if 1,500 people showed up at the state capitol and we all held hands and encircled the state capitol, it would cause them to think twice and listen to our grievances and finally become the representatives and the public servants that they were elected into office to perform their duties to protect our interests. They have failed us. And unless we get motivated and angry enough to show up, because showing up is half the battle. You got to show up, and hopefully the public listening will be there on the 30th to have their voices heard. Because
mm-hmm.
if we, you know, if you have families, you know, what about their future? And if you care, as Rod said, you got to show up. You got to stand up, and you've got to let your voice be heard and let them know that they are our public servants. We don't serve them. They serve us, and they need to be constantly reminded and have their feet held to the fire to perform what they were elected to do, because they're laughing all the way to the bank and padding their pockets. Mm-hmm. They're involved. They're in cahoots with special interests. They are the prostitutes being pimped by the developers. That's where their loyalty is to the folks at the city council.
Mm-hmm.
They're being pimped, and they're, you know, having us pay for their bill.
Right.
You know, yeah. So it's time to wake up, you know, and be counted and talk to your brothers, your sisters, your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers, and organize.
You know, the taxpayers.
Yes. You know, I have a statement that I came across that I say, the people united will never be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
The people united will never be defeated. So it's time to unite. And the only way to do that is to reach out to your family members, coworkers, and so on, you know, to at least start the dialogue, you know, a meeting place where you can talk story, because this is common ground. You know, they're taking us to the poorhouse. How much more are we going to stand?
Yeah, I mean, state taxes, federal taxes, and then property taxes.
It's incredible. And we're not talking, you know, we're not fabricating, you know, these scare scenarios. These are facts. All you have to do is find them. They're there. Make the effort. They're there. These are not fabricated, you know, wishful thinking of how to make the city council or the state of Hawaii or the administration or the governorship look bad. But the facts are, we have an unbelievable high cost of living, and rail is going to break the quality of life that we so dearly like to tell people we live in paradise. Well, paradise is going to become unbearable if we don't wake up and stand up.
Yeah, you know, even though it's in the air, they're asking for the recovery plan in this letter.
Mm-hmm.
They tell them September 15, 2017, Hart submitted to FTA a recovery plan asserting
yeah.
that the city would provide $20 million and funding toward the project in Hart's fiscal year 2018 budget, an additional $24 million in funding towards the project of 2019. Here's what got my eye. This recovery plan was approved by the city council by resolution 17-266 FD1 on October 6, 2017. Now, since then, FTA has held numerous discussions with you, Hart, and city council members, in which FTA conveyed the expectation that Hart follow through the recovery plan. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Then they give them another date. So they're already telling the mayor is, I don't know who's withholding this information. A recovery plan has been submitted that speaks specifically to the $44 million. But I guess they didn't identify the source.
Well, here's another thing. I held on to last Sunday's Star Advertiser. And in blazing headline on the front page of the Star Advertiser last Sunday, it says, crunch time for rail audit.
Mm-hmm.
And underneath it, it says, railing away, Les Kondo, Hawaii State Auditor. I don't have the authority to compel Hart to comply with our requests for information. But when we issue our report and when we note the challenges that we've experienced, I don't want the board to come back to me and say, why didn't you tell us? Okay. So even the state auditor is having an extremely difficult time in having Hart be transparent.
Yeah, but
they're hiding.
He works for the state, and Les Kondo,
yes.
Kondo is probably has 25% of my respect. He's company man, and who
and
cares what some, who cares what he think and feel? Just do the damn audit.
Yeah,
right.
And he says he has no authority to compel.
Right, no authority to compel, but do it. Right.
Yeah, do it and see what happens.
But he was with the Ethics Commission, and he ran that in his own fashion.
What ethics?
Huh?
What ethics?
Yeah,
and
then he became the auditor. So he be careful. He's a company man, and he's the guy that comes in and bring the flowers after the casket is closed.
And that's who they represent.
Right.
They represent the special interests and their positions in government.
Yeah, they want that position. They love that money. They can drive their Lexus and their penny loafers and an Aloha shirt and send their kids off to private schools on mainland.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And when they want to visit them, just create a meeting on the mainland that you got to go to and relate it to business so you pay out of the taxpayer's pocket.
Right. And have the struggling taxpayer pay for their lavish lifestyle.
So they can accompany their kids to college and sign them in and what have you, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's
that old thing where George Carlin says, it's a big club and you're not in it.
Yeah. But you will be putting some money.
But we pay for it.
Yeah, we pay for it.
We pay for it, but we're not in it.
Yeah,
we're not allowed to be members of that prestigious club.
I saw that same article, and it caught my eye, too, and I was thinking.
It's outrageous.
What do you mean you could do an audit, but you can't do one because it won't do this? And you know, it's like, God, that's not your job to sit and predict how one will receive an audit.
Carol, that's why it's such a shell game.
Yeah.
You know?
And they're
always, you know, dealing with another deck.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making sure that the deck you've got is legit, they always pull out another deck in case something goes wrong. Well, let's find out what you're doing to begin with. It's all about accountability.
Yeah, well,
that's the bottom line.
And transparency, and
transparency.
You do know that
transparency means being truthful.
Yeah, and open books, and do you know that
exactly
when a person serves on a board, let's say the tax board or some other board in the state, you realize that many of those boards, and I don't know by declaration or what, do not have to provide their financial disclosures are not available to the public.
Incredible.
Yeah, you can. The Land Use Commission, you want their records. They are required to file, they say, but you're not allowed to see them.
Right. They insulate themselves from any inquisitive wanting to know what's going on, what's really going on. You know, they insulate themselves.
Yeah. And it's in this rail here. I don't think anyone can bring forth any example.
So what form of government? So what makes me wonder is, what form of government then do we really have? Because it's not a democracy, it's not a republic. What is it?
I don't.
It's a plutocracy.
You think
now,
so?
That's a big fancy. It's a big fancy polluting word. But a plutocracy merely means rule by the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just merely their servants.
But you have to add
that,
in.
That's it.
But also, there's an element of people in a lower strata of them that work for the government. They're not rich, but they deliver what it is that, or maybe they're an implement of the rich who gets appointed, who gets elected, right?
They are obediently complacent because they don't want to rock the boat, and they want to make sure that they keep getting their paycheck. That's it.
The infiltration of private interests into government. I've been talking about that quite often. Nonprofits, even the do-gooders, in fact, find their way into because they found that, hey, look, there's a nest there filled with eggs, and I'm the fox, and I love eating eggs, and maybe we can join in. And that's what they do.
Right. And the gatekeepers won't allow any honest men and women to participate.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. They weed them out. If you don't want to play the game by our rules, you have no career in politics. And that's the thing. You know, a career in politics. Where did that come from?
Yeah. You know.
You're not supposed to have a career in politics.
Well, you know that.
That's not our form of government. You know, to get into politics and to make it into a career, you're a public servant. You get in, you do your job, and you get out, you go back into the private sector.
Earlier you said that it was a big club, and they're all in it together. And I'd like to offer something in support of that that conclusion. Take, for example, our city parks, and it could be anything, and or our state parks. Now, each park is located in a certain district, maybe whether it be city councilman or whatever. Now, how is it that a city councilman, let's take Sand Island, the city councilman there for Sand Island. Mm-hmm. How is it that he could tolerate as a city councilman to have a park that is run down, the features in there, the accommodations, and all of that is just woefully inadequate and dangerously perched, buildings about to fall down and what have you.
Right, through years of neglect.
Now, how is it that the mayor could have control over that or the governor have control over that, and yet the city council, whose district this falls into, does not make any complaints or make any demands to have it fixed? What does that tell you?
Well, here's another one, Carol. Look at the Alawai Canal. That is the most dangerous body of water in Waikiki. They have signs there that should be more visible, that if you fall in, that water is so toxic, the chances are slim to none that you'll come out of it alive. Mm-hmm. It should be fenced off. It is so polluted and so toxic. Why can't they do something? That Alawai Canal is so dangerously toxic and polluted that it should be fenced off. Mm-hmm. It should be hazard signs placed everywhere for the safety of the community. But it's just as it's always been. You know, by mistake, if you get pushed, you'll easily fall into the Alawai. There are no barriers to stop anybody from falling in to the Alawai by accident.
Rufus Hanneman say about it when the guy fell in the water? It says you must be living in a cave if you didn't know the Alawai was contaminated.
Yeah.
And the gentleman died as a result of some major infectious
bacteria. Died so horrifically. If the public ever saw the pictures of what his body looked like, it would be more horrifying than the worst horror film you could ever imagine. It was brutal. It was brutal the way that man died. Okay?
Yeah.
Just by falling into that toxic, polluted water of the Alawai. Here's another thing. The rail is also an accident waiting to happen. The day will come in the not-too-distant future that some kind of catastrophe will happen with the rail. Mm-hmm. And that's why this headlong rush for more money, more money, is because they want to take the money and run. They won't be anywhere around 10, 15 years from now or 20 years from now, because that rail is destined to fail because it was never started as a means of alleviating what they promised that rail would do. It's been a boondoggle, a scam, a get-rich scheme from the beginning. There was no transparency. The public was never given, you know, the alternative of having 21st century technology to meet 21st century needs. They decided to use ancient 19th century technology, steel wheel on steel rail, for the future. There are examples of bullet trains, maglev, monorail, what have you. They're a lot more efficient, and you can get a bigger bang for your buck than steel wheel on steel wheel. They chose it specifically because that's where they could have made the most money, where the most graft, you know, could have been extracted from the project.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's calculated to go well above $10 billion by the time the project gets completed and the rail is running. Well over $10
billion. You think
they're going to impart? Yes.
You think it's going to stop at $10 billion?
It's going to go over.
I'm thinking 15, 20 billion.
Yes. And learned individuals who I've come across, not personally but online, repeat the same thing.
Because you haven't, Dillingham hadn't been addressed, the contaminants in the soil, but what they pull a real fast one on issues of contamination and what have you. They were able to.
Yes.
So if you were out there in Ever Beach and you found some contaminated soil, you didn't have to treat it as an individual case. So if you found some there and you found some in Ever Beach and then you went to Waipahu and found more, you can just mix it all together. Store it, and then treat it as one case, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't know what we've stumbled into.
It's not looking good. It's not looking, but it's not hopeless. It is way beyond. This is, believe it or not, it is an incredible opportunity to take back our government.
Right.
Because the government, you know, the government we have now is not responsive to the needs of the, you know, it's like we the people.
Mm-hmm.
For the folks in government now, it matters not. We don't matter to them.
Yeah, we get to hear them say, we're with you, the little guy. And I see the governor is talking about a $15 an hour or increase in salary but for some employees. Minimum wage?
Mm.
Now, where is he at with five, the ones that are protesting? You know?
Excuse me. Well, you know, it's like my dad used to kid me as a young man, you know, that he would say to me, there's a tree out there with money growing on it. Go get me some.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, Pops, you got to give me some direction. There are a lot of trees out there. He says, just keep looking. money does not grow on trees. And that's what these politicians, you know, give the impression of what they're doing. That money, where is it? You know, it's like, they know they're running a scam. You know, they know they're ripping off the taxpayer left and right. They know it.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the thing. We need to remind them why they're there, because they have lost their way. And we need to help them and assist them to getting back on track, that you're a public servant and you're there in that elected office to represent our interests. And if we don't vociferously, in loud voices, tell them that they work for us, we don't work for them. They're just going to keep getting away with it. And that's been the issue here for God knows how long.
Take
a lot longer than I have been here.
property taxes, for example. Now, I have a home, and that house is its certain tax amount is taxed. And but the infrastructure, the sewer line, the streets always need repairing. Now, eventually,
they're in dire need.
Yeah, eventually they're going to be somewhat. One's going to outrun the other. How much taxes can you tax out of a house after a while? Blood out of a turnip, I guess.
Repeat that again, Carol.
How much taxes can you take out of a house? Any one given house, you see.
Yeah, I know.
And then turn around and fix the pipes and pave the roads, you're going to have to increase another tax to cover that.
Right. Well, what we're dealing with are politicians that have become addicted to our money. Because, common sense being uncommon, here's what I try to remind them whenever I go to testify is like, who in their right mind running their own personal household budget would run the rail the way it's been done? You'd be out on the street in no time. You mean to tell me you don't watch where your money is going? And if there's something and if the numbers don't add up, you don't investigate? That's why this audit that they promised has never happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't want the public to know what they've been doing with the money. Okay?
Oh, yeah.
They've been dragging their feet, and they don't want disclosure. So and they're going to do everything they can, to bury the truth.
So the 30th of this month, they're going to have that's Tuesday.
Yes. And 9 a.m., please. I beseech all of you, if you care about the future of Hawaii, you've got to show up. You got to stand up and speak. Stand up. Show up and stand up. And have your voices heard. Okay? Let's be responsible, for the love of this island. Hawaii is such a beautiful place. It could be ground zero, to show the rest of the world how successful we can be in sustainability. We live in a very special place in the Pacific Ocean. We have resources that very few other places have. We could show the world how to live sustainably, and we're not doing it because greed and the addiction to taxpayers' money, it's just run rampant. Mm-hmm. And it can't last. It's unsustainable. This kind of greed, this kind of bleeding taxpayers for more and more and more and more and more is unsustainable. It will reach, a crisis point, and what will come out of it is nothing but chaos and heartache. So that's why it's important. Show up. Stand up. Have your voice be heard. Speak your mind. Speak your peace.
Well,
defend the future of Hawaii.
Yeah, well, we'll look at this next week after the meeting. I'm going to talk some more about it next weekend.
Okay, Carol.
And I don't know if you're familiar with the talk808.com or this new program that we have.
I'm becoming more so now.
Yeah, it's 24/7. It's available, and when we're not broadcasting, we may air the podcast, but within a 24-hour period, you can either get music or show. But if you come across something that could be podcast to others,
we'll do.
Give me a call. We'll post it up.
And the same way, just keep me in the loop, Carol.
Okay.
Because the people united will never be defeated. Let's make it happen. If you love Hawaii, stand up. Have your voices heard. See you all. October 30th, 9 a.m.
Okay.
Thank you, Carol.
All right, Jack. Thank you.
Stay strong.
Aloha. Bye. That was Jack DeFeo from Lanai, Makaha side of Oahu. So thank you guys for joining in, and we're going to see you next week. We got a number of things we're going to talk about next week. We have we've been looking into this ticket fixing scam or allegations of one on the Kaneohe Marine Base. As you know, that we had a subject going on regarding the DLNR and its use of abuse, I should say, of its pass and memorandum of agreement between the Marine Base and DLNR to use their area to store boats and store a boat and jet skis, and one of the officers turned it into a cottage industry and making a little money by bringing on people to ride jet skis and, quote, train them to operate jet skis and security companies, and rather big money. Well, we got brushed off, and what we thought would be more aggressive approach to this looking at this, because we believe that it was improper, illegal use of taxpayers' monies, property, you know, and also jeopardizing the security of the base at Kaneo Marine Base. But I guess we as citizens, we can say we're interested or concerned, but it's really left up to the people at Kaneo Marine Base to determine if something is a threat or not. Well, we found that there was a little hanky-panky that went on with that effort. So as a result, the same people, I guess, arrogance is everything, and sometimes it could be a sickness and contribute to your demise. Well, we found that we actually have learned that one of the top officials in the security chain has actually been actually approached an officer who wrote tickets and wrote a ticket and asked him to pull the ticket because he wanted to have some clout over the person that got the ticket. And so you got that kind of behavior going on. And we understand that there's a memo that when officers above colonel and above are stopped, wave them on or don't do any citations or whatever, refer that on up. They withdrew that SOP, and we're going to try and get a copy of that, and we were promised a copy, and promised a copy of the tape. There was an actual tape. One of the police officers taped the official who was fixing the tickets or offering to fix the tickets because he wanted to have this person that he had gotten the ticket in his pocket, so to speak. So we're going to be talking about all of that. But again, why are we interested? Well, it's about public resources, public monies, and integrity and internal behavior that you and I don't get to see. But at the end of the day, it's all about money, power, and abuse of those monies and that power. So we'll talk to you next week, and tune in to talk808.com for some of our shows that are podcast. Aloha. Thank you.